You're listening to A Glimpse Inside on the Super Power Up Network, the show that affirms for people there is more to life, and it is possible to be happy, inspired, successful, joyous, and free.
Welcome to A Glimpse Inside. I'm Wendy Perotti. You're listening to episode 2 of our 4-part series, Finding Your Way. What happens when you feel lost? And how do you get out of your own way when you do? Our coaching guest today, Renee, is feeling kind of lost herself. And what's interesting is today's actually Renee's birthday. So it's a really cool time for her to start finding her way. Before we meet her, I want to give you all a quick reminder of how we roll here on A Glimpse Inside's coaching episodes. Please remember that this is a no advice, no judgment zone. We're here to create that space where it's 100% safe to examine all of that gunk that swirls around in your head without filters, without worries about what it sounds like, because guess what? The gunk inside our heads is all the same. So the fears that fly in and out, they're not always fully defined. And so talking about them without that filter is the way that we actually untangle. It's how we untangle those stories about ourselves, about what's good and what isn't good, about what's possible, what isn't possible. We're not here to fix Renee. We're not here to fix you. None of us need fixing. We're perfectly fine exactly the way we are. But when you're yearning for more, when something feels hollow, when you feel lost, it means you're ready to grow. And unlike change, growth sticks. Growth only happens in one direction. Nothing in nature ungrows, and neither will you. Welcome, Renee.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you very much.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It just seems wonderful that I'm able to do this with you on my birthday. So thank you very much.
Right. What a fun, exciting thing to get to do, like a step in a new direction on your birthday.
Yes. I've been looking forward to it because I thought, you know, this is really, you know, I'm consciously choosing. This is a choice. This is, you know, I need to figure out where I am.
I love it. And that's what we're here for. For those of you who hear any crazy silence in the background, apparently we have some landscaping going on outside of the recording studio here. And so hopefully it won't be too much of a distraction. We're going to soldier on. So Renee, before we start coaching, what's important for us to know about you?
I think it's important to know that I just turned 56 years old. I have a family. I've been married for 30 plus years. I have a family, two boys who are, one just graduated from college. One is in his final year. My daughter's in 10th grade. We live in New York City. I have worked until recently as an operations director at a not-for-profit, which is closing its doors unrelated to COVID. That was a decision that was taken a while back. I trained as an attorney, and then I stopped working to stay at home with my children. And I've been floundering ever since. I've done a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Like most mothers, I did the whole volunteer route at the schools, at the, you know, athletic field. And I just don't know what I'm doing anymore. I'm kind of lost.
Okay. That's a great starting point. We have two sessions together, and really that's what you said to me when we first spoke. You said, I feel lost. So what would you like to create or have happen as a result of the work that we do together over these next few sessions?
I think to help me see a path forward. So when my office was closing, I sort of cast around, I redid my resume, I did a whole bunch of stuff to think about moving forward in my career, and nothing excited me. I was making the moves, but nothing excited me, and I can't figure that out. Like, that's not me. I always had a plan. I always had something on the go, and it's like this story I'm telling myself, things that I applied to, you know, I just I was networking. I didn't quite, you know, get excited about anything, and I can't figure out what's next for me.
Okay.
I don't know where to look. I don't even know. Yeah. I guess I'm just sort of stuck. I'm lost.
Okay. So some clarity, a path forward would be really cool if we could kind of dive into that. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's exactly it.
All right, sister, let's do it. Before we get started, we're going to take a really quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to get right into the coaching. As always, we'll have some tips that you can use to start making yourself feel better when you feel lost. In the meantime, if you have that feeling, if you've got that yearning that, there's more for me, or for some of us, it really feels like almost like a guilty thing. Good Lord, my life is fine. Things are the way they're supposed to be, and yet there's something that feels hollow. Come on A Glimpse Inside. Reach out. It's so easy to get in touch with me. If you want to just use the tools that we have to offer, those are easy to find as well. Wendy, go to wendyparati.com or aglimpseinside.superpowerexperts.com. Either of those places, there are easy ways to get in touch, to come on the show, to get coaching, tons of free tools, tons of information. Don't feel lost on your own. There is support for you. Stay with us. We will be right back, and we are going to dig in with our birthday girl and help her find her way.
Hello, everyone. This is Tonya Don Rekla, Executive Director of Superpower Experts, and we want to thank each of you for making Superpower Up the number one podcast network for personal development and spiritual growth. Because people like you have the courage to say that mindfulness, healthy living, disrupting reality, the pursuit of consciousness, responsible entrepreneurship, and radical parenting matter, we now amass over 1 million downloads monthly in more than 90 countries. Our numbers keep growing because there are far more people willing to live divergently than mass media wants to acknowledge. For you, the change makers, the light bearers, the way showers, we say thank you. If you're ready to take the next step in your evolution, go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz. And as Neva Lee Rekla, our youngest podcaster, likes to remind us, remember, we all have superpowers and we can change the world.
Welcome back. We are here on A Glimpse Inside's Finding Your Way series with Renee, who is feeling lost. Today's your 56th birthday, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, lost on her 56th birthday. And I know that you are not alone in that. When we reach the 50s, it really seems 40s, 50s, for some people it's their 60s. It's really a time of reckoning, and sometimes it's the external that kind of is the impetus to say, okay, I have to make a change. My job changed. The place that you're working is no longer going to exist, right? This is the case with you. And sometimes it's something that's internal, and often, as I think that I'm hearing from you, Renee, it's a combination of both. So, before we went to break, you said to me that you started putting everything together to look for a new job, to think about a new career, and nothing felt exciting.
Nothing felt exciting. I thought, wow, I have a law degree. Let me think and see if I could do something in the legal field. And just even the thought of that, I don't know if you know that feeling in your tummy where you're just like, oh, that's not right.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even, I started half-heartedly talking to people, and I thought, no, I'm so far behind in that field, and it doesn't feel good to me. So I have to look elsewhere. Then I went down the path of, I started looking at, in my job, I worked with a UX designer for our website, and I thought that was really interesting. And I thought about retraining for that, and even went so far as to apply to a school and get accepted. And I was thinking, and they kept asking me, well, when do you want to start? The course starts this date, or you could start the next term. And I couldn't commit. And I realized, what am I doing? I'm not committing because this just doesn't feel right. But I can't figure out what does feel right.
You know, there are so many shoulds and have to's in our heads and what we think is possible. I love that you are starting from the space of, I used to say it to my kids, use your tummy alarm. You know, your head and your heart can get in the way sometimes, but that tummy alarm, it really tells you the truth.
Yeah.
And yeah. So leaning into those somatic cues that, hey, this doesn't feel right for me, is really a fantastic first step. And I love that you're already tapped into that. Let's play around a little bit, if it's cool with you, Renee.
Sure.
Without worrying or even considering whether there is a job or a profession or a career that is related to it, tell me about the things in your life that have excited you or things that do excite you now.
I like reading a lot. I like playing with my kids. I like organizing my home. I like estate sales. You know, I've been keeping a running list of things that I just like to do. And they include like really weird things. Like I like looking forward to a family dinner. I enjoy, you know, following a new recipe. I mean, they're very, in a way, mundane things, but they sort of give me happiness. I don't know.
I love it. Keep going. What else?
I don't know. I don't know. I enjoy riding my bicycle. I'm at the beach at the moment. I enjoy sitting with my girlfriends. I love that. I love when I can meet up with my girlfriends and we sit around with no agenda. We're just sitting around chatting and laughing. I like to be with my daughter when she's doing all her trying on her clothes and what is she going to wear and how does her hair look. I love all that stuff. It's very, I've been trying to think of the strands to put them together, but it seems, okay, here's my struggle. These things seem very mundane, like they're very small, but to me they're everything, if that makes sense.
Okay, so the number one rule, I don't have a lot of rules in coaching, but one that I have is we really don't define or judge anything in this space. When you get back out into the real world and you start experimenting with it, that's where you'll see what the real definition is for you. But there is no big or small. There is no right or wrong. There is no should or have to. We start from what feels meaningful. And what I'm hearing is that you are very present when you are connected with the people that you care about and that you love that part of your life.
I do. I very much love that part of my life. I love spending time with people. I love real conversations. I love quiet conversations. I love just hanging out with people. I love it. I also like my lists. Like my kids joke, I always have a running list. Again, I'm not changing the world with my list. I'm reminding myself to, you know, I don't know, buy dishwashing detergent. But I like my organizational skills in that way, you know, the satisfaction of whatever it is that I'm doing and completing the job.
What do you like about reading?
Oh, I've read my whole life. And it's really interesting to me. It's a little bit of a pivot, but reading is really scaring me at the moment. My entire life, I've read an awful lot. I've read probably a couple books a week. I've just always read and read and read and read. And recently, I can't read. And I don't know if it's COVID. I don't know if it's too much screen time that's drawing my attention away. But I love the way that I can immerse myself and lose myself in a really good book. That's what I love about reading. Just that caveat that I want to add is that I'm worried about myself because I'm not able recently to lose myself in the way that I always, from when I was very small, could do.
So, and it's a lack of focus, like you can't focus on the book. Is that what's happening?
I think that's what's happening. Yeah. It's like not capturing my, you know, I could read a book and forget the time and hear the alarm go off on my phone or the alarm, you know what I mean? And just silence it for a little bit because I just needed to finish. And I read everything. But recently that's not there. And I think it's lack of focus. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that does make sense, right? There are a lot of things that are drawing our attention right now in our country, right? As a community, there are a lot of things that are drawing our attention. COVID is one of them. The politics that are happening is one of them. There's a lot of polarization. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of uncertainty. And when you add that to sort of what you're personally experiencing, right? I'm coming up on this birthday and I'm feeling lost and I'm not really sure what's going to happen. The place that I was working is closing down. There's a lot of uncertainty there. And when your mind is kind of like an operating system. If you give it too many tasks running in the background at once, it starts to glitch out. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And so you got a lot of stuff running in the background right now. And it makes sense that focus is drawn in a couple of different directions. Okay. And we'll talk about that as we move forward, maybe with part of the homework, I can give you a couple of good focus skills. Let's stay with what excites you. And
what excites me. I also, so I sit on my local community board, which I love, and it's given me the opportunity to become involved in things that I joined because I was very concerned about. I live in New York City. Some of the landmarks and some of the buildings that I saw being just torn down and the history being lost. But I joined and it involves me in a lot of local issues, which I really like, but I also feel agitated by and made hopeless by. Mm-hmm. In that, you know, it's just that a community board is a voluntary body. It doesn't really have a lot of say, although it does, make recommendations and it's involved nominally. You just hear a lot of stuff about your community and it's paralyzing in a way. So I also, that excites me, but it also gives me agita.
I get it. Okay. Tell me a little bit about you career-wise.
Okay. So career-wise, I went to law school, I'd say relatively late. I was in my 20s. And then I worked for a big firm. So I always wanted to work for DA's office. That's why I went to law school. I guess I watched too many crime shows and I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And so I went to law school and I didn't get the DA's office that I wanted. I got several others, but I also got some offers for some big firms with salaries that were huge. And I thought, well, I didn't get the DA's office that I wanted. I'll go to this big law firm. Again, I should have listened to my tummy at that stage because it just wasn't for me. I lasted about a year and a half. And then I went to a government agency that worked with police and crime in the same kind of way, sort of similar to, but not what I wanted to do at a DA, becoming an ADA. Mm-hmm. And I stayed there for about 10 years. And I had my first child and I went back and I had my second child. I have what they call Irish twins, right? They're like 11 months apart, and got really kind of crazy. And then I got pregnant again, which ultimately miscarried. But during that time, I was like, my husband's a physician. I add that just because his schedule was terribly unpredictable in terms of on calls and night calls and all of that. So with the two, the Irish twins and then thinking I was pregnant again, it was like, oh my God. We were paying more for childcare. I think a lot of people do that. And we made the decision that I would just stay home. And I was delighted. In retrospect, I probably wouldn't have done that. But that's what I did. And I spent many years, as I said, in the school, volunteering with my kids, which I absolutely loved. And then I had a third child after, several years after. And I stayed home with her and I was thrilled and very, very much engaged and involved. And And then that sort of peters out. Your kids grow older and you're no longer needed to make snacks or ferry people around or attend athletic events, right? In that interim, I worked for a small not-for-profit through a friend of mine helping to set up a medical office for a nonprofit that dealt with undocumented immigrants. And then I moved to doing some per diem legal work, which again was just sort of conferences downtown. I would handle conferences on a per diem basis for various law firms. And then I started working for this not-for-profit, which I learned about through a friend of mine. Prior to that, I also did something else, which was I also helped a friend of mine started a business that works with older people that are having, I guess, medical problems. They need help in their lives, like as they age, an aging healthcare company. And this one man needed somebody to be with him. He had cognitive difficulties as he was closing his business. So it was kind of like I was half his nurse, half his assistant, half his eyes and ears that he was not able to be fully cognitive for. And I really enjoyed that. He was a businessman as he closed down his business. I worked there, he had caregivers and all of that, but I sort of was almost like a personal assistant, even though he had a full business behind him. It was just for him personally. I really enjoyed that. And then he declined very badly cognitively. His business was closed or he retired from that business. And then I started working for this not-for-profit, which I enjoyed. Again, this nonprofit was created by a friend. It had been going for years and years. I jumped in when he was expanding it. And it's been really, really fun, but it's also not, it's more a question of checking lists rather than being really passionate about the mission.
Mm. Okay.
I feel like I've talked a lot.
Yeah, this is all about you. This is not about hearing me. This is about you untangling your stuff. So let me ask you what you want out of a career. And I want to make sure that even though I said no filters, I want you to filter this answer for any shoulds or expectations, right? We don't want that in this answer. Just from your gut, from that tummy, what do you want out of a career? Everything from money to fulfillment, what are the things that matter to you?
I want something that I create that gives me meaning. I want something that's mine, that, or maybe not even mine, but that something I can own and be proud of and feel that I've really contributed and created. I also would like money as well. Like sometimes when I deal with the community board, there's a lot of hours involved and you spend a lot of time and you're like, wow, that was a lot, and I sometimes feel that it's not valued if it's not paid for in a way. So there is the financial part, but more it's about, I think I'd like something that's mine, something that I created and that is successful and that I could feel proud of.
When you talk about feeling proud, what are the things in your life that make you most proud, that you're most proud of right now?
I think my family, like I love that we, prior to COVID and when we're all together, we eat dinner together all the time. We do things together. We like to vacation together. During COVID, we would play Catan remotely. We all got our copy of Catan and we would do it via Zoom. I love that we like to be together and enjoy each other's company. I don't know. That's just really important to me.
Okay. What specifically about you are you proud of?
I don't know. That's hard to answer. Mm-hmm. Really hard to answer.
This isn't the place to be humble either.
I'm not being mm-hmm. humble. I'll tell you honestly, when I think about working and my job, I look at friends of mine and colleagues, and they seem to be so successful in whatever, by successful, I don't just mean monetary success or, you know, C-suite successful, although I have a lot of friends who have done all of those things, but content and happy with their, and I've never felt in a work thing really content or happy or all in, you know, in the same way that, like, where I said, when I read, I just lose myself. I know people that in their positions, in their jobs, they lose themselves. It's so fulfilling. And I don't think I've ever had that. You asked what I'm proud of myself about. I don't know. Isn't that sad? I'm trying to think. I feel like I'm going to cry. I don't know. I guess when I was younger, the fact that I did go to school and I did, you know, that goal was met. I don't know.
So something's really striking me here, Renee. You are a remarkably open and passionate and loving person with such an attachment to and value around people and mission and family and belonging. And I mean, these are the hallmarks of a good life, really, when it comes right down to it. And yet I get a sense, and you've said it in other words, I get a sense that to you that is too small to be of real impact or meaning.
I think that's true. In some deep way, I do think I feel that way, even though I can't tell you how much I value that. You know, I value just my family and my friends. It's like the most important thing to me. And yet it doesn't seem to stack up in some ways against creating a business or, you know, being the CEO of a, you know, being in the C-suite of some company. I don't know.
So
partner in a law firm, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, these are the things that different parts of our world tell us that we should want or that define success, right? The titles or the career accomplishments, the financial accomplishments, very much define success in lots of places in our society. And I'll be really honest with you. It's why a lot of people end up on, I generally coach over Zoom. I always say on the other side of the green light, right, from me, because they do all of those things. They check all of those boxes. I have the house. I married the right guy. I built the business. I have the career. I did everything that I was supposed to do. I checked all the boxes, and yet it's hollow, right? So what matters right now? What matters right now, especially when you feel lost, is coming to terms with what matters to you and really owning that.
Can I tell you, I'll tell you a story that happened to me pre-COVID, and I've been wrestling with exactly what you're saying, and I don't know how to get over it. I have a very dear friend who's extraordinarily successful. And she has a small group of friends who she has introduced me to, all of whom are wonderful. One is a nationally known author. Another is a film director. Like, I mean, really high functioning, you know, bold face names. And we went to a lunch for her birthday, and there were about 15 people around the table, and we all went around to say something to the birthday girl and to say how we knew her and what we did. And it started across the table from me. And each person worked in not just like a happy birthday, but also, you know, I directed this film that won 3 Oscars or whatever. And I'm not joking you, literally. And I remember thinking I was having such fun and these women were so fabulous. And then I remember thinking, I got to get out of this room. I'm not having any fun anymore. I got to leave here because I'm not
worthy of this company. It's horrible.
Mm. That's huge. That's at the center, right? This is at the center of feeling lost for you. Okay, so at what point in your life, let me ask it this way. Let's go all the way back first. You're a kid. Mm-hmm. What did you want to be?
I thought I would be a lawyer or a vet, one or the other.
Lawyer or a vet, okay. And you did it, you became a lawyer.
Right.
As you became a mom, mm-hmm. okay, because this stood out for me. It was one of the first things that you said. Playing with your kids was one of your excited things. You were delighted when you had the opportunity to stay home with them. And then you said, I don't know if I'd do it again. Why?
I think because it took me off the track to have any sort of meaningful career after that. So after I left my job, and I was pregnant for the third time, I had miscarriage. And then I tried to go back to something, you know, in the legal field. I was just getting nothing, like no one, you know, I got no bites. No one was interested. And I felt like I was, you know, in that field, written off, done. Mm,
okay.
And I felt having, you know, taken that time, it really just took me off the track of being able to achieve anything. And I don't know why that is.
Okay.
I know it's not true because I've seen friends of mine do this, right?
Yeah. So it's absolutely not true. And I don't think that matters to us quite yet. I'm going to tell you something. You will be able to do whatever you choose to do. Okay. You can, whatever you choose to do, you will be able to do it, provided it's actually in alignment with what you value and what you really want. If you try to push yourself to do something that is out of alignment, you're either going to, as you've experienced already so far, stall and not be able to get it going, or push through it like many, many, many people do and end up feeling kind of hollow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So our first goal for you really, Renee, is to figure out what you want and what you think you should want, and then start talking about the gap between those. Okay. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay. So there's clearly something that says I should want, or I should be able to be one of these women who does these extraordinarily exciting things. Let me ask you this. If you could trade right now, if I could say, all right, Renee, you give up. We're going to go back in time and we're going to flip. You give up the mommy years the way that you did them. You get a nanny and you do the full-time career gig, and now you've got a shining career with prizes, right? Whether the prizes are Oscars or beach houses or accolades or awards or whatever they are, right? You've got the shining career with prizes and you have a lovely relationship with your family. I'm not saying that it has to be a complete trade-off, but there is some trade-off there, right? You don't get to do the playing on the floor and be a part of the school system thing in the way that you were. That's mm-hmm. the trade-off.
Right.
Would you make the trade?
Sometimes I say yes, and sometimes I say no, but my gut says no.
Okay. Why does your gut say no?
Because I think part of that time when we were all so my sons are now in college, you know, one's done with college, but when we were all together, those were some of my happiest times, I think.
Hmm. Okay. And throughout this, that comes up over and over again. This is a core value for you. And your judgment or your fear of other people's judgment of it is getting in the way. So, and this is not to say that there's not some big shining career for you. There very well may be, but it's got to be one that you really want and that actually excites you in order for you to get it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. So here's what I'm thinking would be some cool homework for you to do between now and our next session.
Okay.
Keep a running list, okay, mm-hmm. of what you love. Actually, let me change that. I'd like the list to be what I love about my life so far.
Okay. That I can do. I love a good list.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What I love about my life so far, and the more gritty you can get about this list, the better.
Okay.
You know, now that I think about it, I'm going to have you make 3 lists.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, it's a lot of work and it's your birthday, but let's just dig in here.
No, I am so grateful. I want it. Please. Yes.
All right. So 3 lists. One is what I love about my life so far, and let it be super duper gritty.
Okay.
The number 2 list. What? I'm not so crazy. What I would change about my life in a heartbeat. Things that, I just don't love. And let that be super duper gritty. Like literally, if you have a faucet that leaks and you're every day like, oh my God, this petty annoyance, why the hell don't I change this leaking faucet? I want that on the list. Like that's what I mean when I say gritty.
Okay.
So right, what perfect. You don't love about, and on the love list, it might be, I walk into my bathroom and it always smells like lilacs. That goes on the list. Okay.
Yeah. So, perfect.
Gritty. Both lists gritty.
Okay.
And then the other list of what a successful life should have in it. Okay. And I want you to be really careful with this one. Okay. It really has to be a should. Okay. It doesn't mean... I don't want you answering this with the filter of here's what the coach will want to hear, right?
Right.
Or, here's what my rock star best friend would want to hear.
Right.
Lens is through the brain of Renee in this moment, what a successful life should have in it. And you don't even have to really believe it. Chances are you won't, right?
Okay.
Anything that pops into your head, if it comes into your head as a should, it goes on the list.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
How does that feel?
It feels good. It feels like I'm moving. I always like to feel like there's a forward motion. And I, as I said, I love a good list and I think this is a way to start thinking about these things. So thank you.
Okay. So anything that you can do in the next week or so to... in addition to these lists, sometimes once you start noodling on things like this, you have these like aha, little epiphany moments, right? Once the brain breaks free, if something like that pops up, you have this thought, jot it on a post-it note, jot it on the back of one of the lists. Anything like that is important, right? Sometimes your brain tells you things in odd moments.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Absolutely.
And I'm going to just give you, do you do any kind of meditation?
I do. It's another thing that's sort of gone a little bit wonky since COVID.
Yeah.
I'm losing my, I'm very lost. I'm losing my concentration around my meditation. I do a practice every morning, but it's been very wonky.
Okay. You're not alone in that. I think a lot of people are finding that. What kind of practice do you do? Do you use a guided meditation?
It's a guided meditation, yes.
Okay, and do you use like an app or you use the same meditation all the time or a...
There's a group that I belong to and they use the same meditation all the time. And I've been switching off using, what is it? Now Insta something, another guy.
Insight timer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been awesome. Switching off between the two of them because I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm not able to meditate because I know this meditation, I'll do something else. And then the new meditation, it's like, oh, I don't like this. I have to go back and crazy okay. stuff.
I'm actually a big fan of Insight Timer. Mm-hmm. Continue to play around with that. Don't worry about getting it right or having to do one particular meditation. I don't know how long you meditate for, but don't worry about the amount of time right now. Mm-hmm. Even little 2 or 3 minute meditations on a subject that kind of interests you, play around with those guided meditations, certainly on Insight Timer. But the homework I'd like to give you is to pick up a mindfulness meditation. And I'm going to give you one that is, any mindfulness meditation is going to improve your focus.
Okay.
Because a mindfulness meditation, whether it is a 3-day silent retreat around mindfulness or a 60-second tool like the one that I'm going to give you, mm-hmm. any mindfulness meditation just teaches you to take your mind from, oh, there's a thought to, and now I'm back in the present moment. Oh, there's a thought and now I'm back in the present moment. And in doing that, what you're doing is you're wiring your brain for focus. And so these little 60-second mindfulness meditations are so impactful because you can do them several times a day. And they're a little breathing space and they help you feel better. And because of the repetition, they're training your brain to refocus even when things feel chaotic on the inside or the outside. Make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So my favorite one is called One Stone. And this one is, I learned from Millie Grineau, who wrote a book called Oasis and the Overwhelm. And One Stone is one of the tools in that book. She learned this technique though directly from Thich Nhat Hanh back in the days when mindfulness was not like the buzzword. Mm-hmm. And it's a really simple technique. It's called One Stone because she was taught holding a stone. I always do it with a stone in my hand because I pick them up on beaches, but you can put anything in your hand, anything at all, a piece of jewelry, something on your desk, anything tactile. It's an eyes open meditation. Mm-hmm. And the goal is, of course, to breathe deeply, right? Because the breath is the tool that gives us all of those physiological responders. It changes the chemistry in your brain. It changes your blood pressure and your heart rate. So you're going to start with a deep breath. And this whole process will take about the time of 10 deep breaths, but I don't want you to count the breaths. Okay, so if you've actually only done 4, who cares? If you've done 40, who cares? It's whatever your brain tells you, I think I've done about 10 breaths. Make sense?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so for the period of about 10 breaths, you're going to focus on that stone in your hand. Eyes open. And let your brain think about it. So I've got a stone in my hand right now. And if I were doing this out loud, it would sound like there's a stone in my hand. I remember where I picked this up on Orient Point. It's kind of yellow. I loved the stones on that beach because they were so colorful. And then, oh, what time is it? Am I getting close to time on the boat? It's a stone in my hand. It's kind of glittery. Oh, my foot is a little bit sore. It's a stone in my hand. So you see, each time my mind notices another distraction or thought, I just make the next thought be about the stone in my hand.
I see.
Okay. And what it's doing is just while you're breathing, training your mind to come into the present moment. All of those thoughts are not in the present moment. The stone is here with you. Make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I like that. I like that a lot.
Thank
you. So play with the one stone and three lists, and we will see you back. I want to thank you so much for digging in with us today and letting all of the people who are also out there feeling lost kind of benefit from knowing that they're not alone in this game.
I can't thank you enough, Wendy. Thank you so much for this. I so appreciate it. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. And for all of you who are listening in to Renee and I today, I want to thank you for being with us. And if you can relate, if you feel like, oh my gosh, that's me, I feel lost, or I'm yearning for more, I don't know what it is, or I've got this huge goal and I'm beating my head against the wall, I don't know why I can't make this thing happen, don't be shy, reach out. I'd love to hear from you. It's so easy to get in touch. Come to wendyparati.com or aglimpseinside.superpowerexperts.com. I'd love to hear from you. Renee is going to be back here next time for episode 3 of our series, Finding Yourself. And for now, she's off to make her lists. Have a really great birthday, I hope, and play with this stuff in real life. I hope you all will make some lists yourself and play with some of these tools in your real life. Until then, big love.
Thank you. Bye.
Are you ready to discover your superpowers? Go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz today.